I had a mentor in this ministry business who said to me, Chad, in this business, you've always got to be ready to have love interrupt your day. That no matter what your plan is for the day, there may be another, and that you have to be ready to let love interrupt your day. Well, this morning, on Easter morning at 9 o'clock, I played my trumpet with the choir, and I was getting ready for the children's message, and I was getting this message ready, and I had all these things going, all these balls in the air, and I'm dashing through the office, literally dashing through the office, and the phone rang. Just before the 9 o'clock service, the phone rings. That's an odd time for the phone to ring at a church. So I stopped, and I picked up the phone. It wasn't even the handset at my own desk. It was at another desk, and I picked up the phone. And on the other end of the phone was a man named Harold. Harold, you could tell, was an elderly gentleman and one that is connected to us through our telephone reassurance ministry, through our calling ministry. Harold receives calls from us as he lives alone, and we care for him over the phone. And he called to say, thank you. In his weakened voice with age, he croaked out, I want to thank you for caring about me. Now, Harold isn't someone who comes from our congregation. He's someone who arrived in the community and is connected to our telephone reassurance ministry by another way, but it's someone we faithfully call. Someone we sent an Easter card, and he said, I haven't gotten an Easter card in years, and I'm grateful. I didn't know anything about Harold except for that Harold was an older gentleman in our community until I ran into Linda Gropp, who made the referral to the telephone reassurance ministry, and I learned that Harold is 93. Harold's a World War II vet who was homeless and living in Chicago. In an attempt to care for Harold, a priest bought a train ticket for Harold to get from Chicago to Battle Creek, but made no arrangements for him to be met on the other end or for a place for him to stay. He was just transitioning from being homeless in Chicago to being homeless in Battle Creek. I think the thought may have been that if you get him close enough to the VA, he'd have access to the benefits that he could get there in Battle Creek. And maybe someone could help him out there, so I'm going to send him on. I don't know what would motivate someone to do that. But Harold ended up here with nothing and no one. And he's connected to Christian community via the telephone and by the people on the other end who call him and greet him and tell him that they care about him. Nothing moves me more than to watch the church be the church, the way Christ calls us to be the church. I'm inspired to know that by name, Harold said, Chapel Hill has cared for me in a way that no home church of mine has ever cared for me. As simple as a phone call. I thank God that I allowed love to interrupt my day. I prayed with Harold on the phone. I wished him a happy Easter, and on to the next thing I went. But Harold was not expressing gratitude to me. He was expressing his gratitude for the love of Christ that you all have demonstrated to him. And I'm grateful for that. Thank you. Pray with me. Dear God, on this day, we come from different places and different stations and different times in our lives, and we enter this space, your house, your community of love. Open our hearts and our minds to hear your message of love in a new way, that we might be different just having come. Lord, I ask that you humble me, that I might set myself aside and your Holy Spirit would so work in me and through me that your message might be delivered in spite of me. In Jesus' holy name, amen. John 3:16 and 17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall never perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." It seems as though every year at Easter, I am drawn once again to these words in John's Gospel. I don't know whether it's because God thinks I need to be reminded or that God needs me to carry a reminder to all of you. But I am reminded to read these words on Easter Sunday once again. I've made it a habit to read John 3:16, maybe the most memorized verse in Scripture, with John 3:17. Comes right after it that says, "For God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." And in reality, what is true is that we both need to be reminded, that we all need to be reminded, especially on Easter after Good Friday, that God so loved the world. And this phrase doesn't only tell me how much God loved the world, but the way in which God loved the world. And while the tense of the phrase "God so loved" is past tense, is correct in translation, it also is incomplete, as the miracle of Easter will never be something that only was. God still loves the world. The tomb is empty once for all and for all time. The miracle of the resurrection is ongoing. As I said, for the last 7 weeks here at Chapel Hill, we have been working our way through 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. In this chapter, Paul is writing to a group of new Christians, telling them how to love one another as Jesus has taught us to love. We heard the list just a few minutes ago. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of the truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best in others, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. For God so loved the world, is Jesus telling the world certainly how much God loves us, but also how God loves us. Jesus is telling us not only about the quantity of love, but about the quality of love. In the very same sentence, Jesus is telling us just how much God loves us and how God loves us at the very same time. And there's a direct parallel for me between what Jesus is saying in John 3:16 and what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians. In John 3:16, Jesus is telling us that there is no limit to what God will do to show us, to demonstrate God's love for us. And in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul is telling us that there is no limit to what is expected from us as we love each other in the name of Jesus Christ. Then, in verse 8, of this 1 Corinthians passage, it simply says, "Love never dies. Love never ends." At the end of this list of things that love is and love isn't, Paul tells the people of the church at Corinth that love never dies. On Easter morning, we come to church to be reminded that love never dies. Jesus is risen. The tomb is empty. The prophecy has been fulfilled. God has defeated sin and death. Hope has been restored. On Easter Sunday, we come to church to be reminded that God so loved the world and that God's love for the world will never die. There are people in church with my family this morning that have either not been in church together for a long time or have never been with us in church at all. Based on attendance this morning, I think that is probably true for many of us. Some of the people who have come to church this morning I know pretty well, and some I am just getting to know. The people who have come to worship with my family this morning have come because someone I love loves them. What I know about them doesn't matter. I am called to seek to know them and to love them as God loves me and as God loves them. Love puts up with anything. Trust God always. Always looks for the best in others. Never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. In the church, we've gotten hung up on the rules, on sorting out right from wrong, good from bad, who's in, who's out. In doing so, we have distorted our job description as Christians. Jesus tells the disciples that all who love him will obey his commands, and he gives us only two commands. When it comes right down to it. When Jesus is pressed about which commandment is most important, he says there are two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. There is no command for us to do any kind of sorting. In fact, in Matthew 25, we are told that the job of sorting belongs to the Son of Man. I'll read you the passage from Matthew 25, starting in verse 31. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne, and the nations will be gathered in his presence. And he, the Son of Man, the Son of God, Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, will separate the people as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. He will do the sorting. I don't know about you, but that throne that is described in Matthew 25 is not a comfortable seat for me. I don't want that job. What I'm left with is just the job of loving. I just get to love people. Right? Way easier than trying to sort it out and then love people. You know, we get to places in our lives where our hearts break over trying to love people that we think we first have to sort out between from good to good and bad. Who's in, who's out. I don't think it's the loving that breaks our heart. It's the sorting that breaks our heart. And it breaks our heart because it's not our job. It's God's job. I was not invited to sit on the throne, and all the nations aren't going to come and be gathered at my feet. In fact, when that gathering happens, I'm going to be in the gathering, and I'm either going to be standing amongst the goats looking at the sheep or standing amongst the sheep looking at the goats. I don't know yet. It's going to be my privilege to stand at the foot of Jesus. I know that. And I'm going to trust the sorting to to God. As we celebrate Easter together this morning, I am reminded that God loves me enough not only to die for me, but to put up with anything and everything I have ever done and still love me. I am reminded that if I am to love my neighbor as I have been loved, that I have to be willing to do exactly the same thing, to put up with a lot of stuff and love people anyway. Love endures all things, trusts in all things, always protects, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never dies. And even if I am inclined to do some sorting, and trust me, I am human, I have to remember that I was never given that job, and that job is way less fun than the one that I have been given, and that is to simply love others as I have been loved. How much easier is it to just love people if we don't have to think about what they've done or where they've been or who they are? We just have to love them because God allows us to be in their presence. How much easier is our job if we don't have to make a list? Well, they did this and they did that. It's way easier. And thank God that Jesus isn't standing there making that checklist for me. The message that I am called to share with you this morning is the message that God loves us and that God's love for us will never end. It is unlimited and unconditional. If you're here this morning hearing from God that you are loved, God doesn't care where you have been. God cares that you're here now. If on Easter Sunday we cannot remember that Jesus went to the cross with all of the sin of the world and was raised from the dead on our behalf, that we might have eternal life, that we might have God's righteousness as our own, what is the point? God loves you just exactly as you are. If there's sorting to be done, I am willing to leave that in the hands of the God whose love never ends. A God who so loved the world that he sent his only Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. We're asked to simply do the same. Not to condemn the world or anyone in it, but to simply love as we have been loved. It's a way, way better job than the one we sometimes assume that isn't ours. Amen.